You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled "The Highest Purpose of Prayer," is the third message in the series Connecting, a Study of Prayer, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord, then you can sit down when I talk. But here's the Bible. It says in Ezra that in the Old Testament that people would stand when they would read the Word of God, and there's something about it. We're going to read from the Gospel of John. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 30, and really let these words just soak in. These are great. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Don't we all? "Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' And then a voice came out of heaven, 'I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.' So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, 'This voice has not come for my sake, but for yours.'" Whew. Father, we have left our homes to come to this house, this place of gathering, this place of assembly, this church. We've come here again, Lord, this morning to worship the Lord God Almighty, to worship in spirit, to worship in truth. Lord, we have come as those wishing to learn and grow and understand. We come as disciples this morning. Oh, Rabbi from Nazareth, the resurrected one, would you teach us this day? Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see, and touch our ears, that we might hear what it is your spirit would speak to us, which your word would speak to us. Lord, we honor you this morning, for truly you are a mystical, amazing, and wonderful Father in heaven. We love you, and we recognize your presence here. So speak into our hearts, we ask, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And all those, again, who love Jesus would say what? Amen. You may be seated. So we're doing a series called Prayer. Interesting about prayer. Years ago, when I first got saved, so I graduated from Palm Springs High School and became a believer in Christ within a year of that, and moved down to Dana Point and started going to Saddleback College. And at that time, my cousin invited me to go to church with them. So it's really the first time I really went to church, right? And certainly as a believer. And within about a month of being at this church, they made a call that they needed help in the youth ministry. And my cousin said, "Hey, Frankie, I think I'm going to go help out there." And I said, "Well, if you go, then I'll go with you." And he went for about 2 weeks and quit, and I stayed for 8 years and helped out both with the junior high group and the high school. I became what was called a core group leader. It was a small group leader. And they gave me my freshman kids were a bunch of surfer kids from Mission Viejo. And if you've ever hung out in the surf culture, there's a subculture. I don't know if you've heard the rumor or not, surfers. And I was And I was reading the Bible that, you know, Jesus goes to people, that the mission field's out there. And I figured if I'm going to hang out with these kids and influence them in the ways of the Lord, I need to go learn how to surf. So one summer, I went out every day for the month of August and just got, and I got to where I could stand up and surf with these kids. And pretty soon, their core group leader is out there surfing. So here I am, like 21 years old, surfing with 15, 16, 17-year-olds, and I'm their leader. And I got to tell you something, to watch these young kids encounter Christ, connect with God, and to be out there early mornings, they're called dawn patrols. So dawn patrols are, you wake up at 4:30, and you get to the ocean by 5, and you're out in the water watching the sun come up. That's a dawn patrol. The water is very glassy and smooth. You beat the crowds, and you would watch these kids drop into a wave and surf, and they'd come out, and they would say, "Oh, Lord, that was gnarly, gnarly." And they would give the, "Oh, Lord," you know, that's their culture. They'd get together and we'd pray on the beach and they'd say, "Oh, Lord, I'm just so ripping to be in your creation today and to be with my bros, just enjoying God, what you made. You're so awesome." And they'd even use the word, "You're so nectar." That was the term back then. And I got to tell you, it was so wonderful to be a part of that. These kids all meeting Christ. I baptized most of them as they would give their lives to Christ. I'd see them get off drugs and just starting to get on fire for the Lord. And to watch these kids pray was refreshing. Nobody taught them how to pray. They just started talking to God. In their youth culture, in their own lingo, they just began talking to God. You know, sometimes you ask somebody, "Hey, let's pray." And you hear people say, "I don't know how to pray." And I said, "Well, geez, you're talking to me real well. Prayer is just talking to God, right? It's pretty simple. Pastor Frank, I don't know how to pray." It's funny, like I just finished actually yesterday my third, I've counseled 3 couples over this summer in premarital counseling. And I'm doing my last, I'm doing a wedding tonight and another one, but I'm kind of getting to the end of this. And what I like to do as I'm doing counseling, premarital counseling, is that at the end of our sessions, I have them stand up, hug each other, and I have them pray, and I call them prayer hugs. And in the beginnings, I usually start praying for them. "God, thank you for this time." I pray for them and their journey and so forth. But as we move along, I start having the husband pray for the wife. And I'll have the wife pray for the husband. I call them prayer hugs. My hope is that this will become kind of a habit that they'll get into, where they'll be hugging each other and praying for each other. Now you guys know I'm a police chaplain. So there are times when I'm counseling as a chaplain people in our department that aren't Christians. But by the 8th week of counseling, man, they've had a mouthful, let me tell you. And it's really cool because sometimes I'll be like, "Hey, man, I want you to pray." And he just kind of sits, "God, thank you for," you know, like, it's, prayer is an interesting thing, isn't it? It's simple. Some people think that only professional people should pray. Everybody prays, right? What is prayer? Prayer in a very simple sense is just talking to God. It's connecting with God. Prayer is verbal and at times nonverbal. In terms of meditation, prayer is simple, right? It's communication, it's talking with God. But friends, if you swim in this pool very long, you'll find that though it's simple, there is a complexity to it as well. There's a theological complexity that goes with prayer and questions that go with prayer. And you start hanging out in these circles and start diving deeper into the topic of prayer. All of a sudden you get the questions of like, "Well, if God knows everything, then why should I talk to God and tell him something he already knows?" type questions. Or, "If God's predetermined everything anyway, then why should I ask God to do something he's already intending to do?" Good questions. And so there's a simplicity and a complexity that goes with prayer. If you stay close to Jesus, you'll just swim right through the questions. Because if there's ever an individual that knows what he's doing with prayer, it's Christ. If there's ever an individual who prayed correctly, who approached prayer correctly, who understood prayer correctly, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Do I hear an amen? Amen. If you follow Jesus, he'll teach you how to pray. And through all the minefields of questions, he'll walk you right through them. If there's an individual that understood the power of prayer, It's Jesus. So if you hang close with him, you'll do this. Now let me say this. Prayer is something that's learned, right? There's questions that goes with prayer. And there's learning that goes with prayer. And there's even times when the disciples would say, Jesus, teach us to pray. And I'm actually, that's my prayer. And may it be your prayer. Jesus, would you teach me how to pray as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century? Teach me about prayer. So there's questions that goes with prayer. And here's some questions this morning. Are you ready? Does God always answer prayer?
Yes.
Does God always answer prayer?
Yes.
Does God always answer prayer? How many of you would say in here that God always answers prayer? How many of you in here would say God doesn't always answer prayer? How many of you in here would say, I'm not raising my hand, it could be a trick question? There's a few. All right. So does God always answer prayer? The answer to that question is yes. God does always answer prayer. What are some answers? But there's different answers to prayer. Watch this. Hey, Dad. Can I have a Porsche when I turn 16? And I say, no. Did I answer my son's request? Yes, but the answer was no. Think about it. Write this down. Here's some basic stuff. You ready? There's always three answers to prayer. One of them's yes. You request something of God and God says yes. Can you think of a time? How about surfing without a surfboard? Peter is on a boat. He's watching Jesus walk on the water, and Peter says, Lord, can I come out to you? And Jesus says, yes. Peter walks on water. I wonder how many of the disciples wish they had have prayed that prayer. And a little regret, like, man, I wish I could have walked on water as well. That was a request. Peter requests something of the Almighty, and the Almighty says yes, and the dude walks on water. There's three answers to prayer always, friends. One of them's yes. And if one's yes, then what? Obviously the other one is no, right? Write this down. No. There are times when God says no. Do you know that even Jesus was told no sometimes? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying. In Matthew chapter 26, it says this, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples, he found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men cannot keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus is asking in the Garden of Gethsemane, is there any way that you can get this away from me? Would you please take this cup from me? And you know what the Father's answer is? No. And Jesus accepts it. If it's possible. Okay, if this can't, I accept it. You know, no is the hardest question or the hardest answer that we have to accept as mere mortals. When we pray and talk to God and we speak to the Almighty God, and when God tells us no, that is the hardest one we have to deal with as mere mortals. Do I hear an amen? There's many times we ask God of things and he says no. And to accept it is tough. Jesus is the perfect example of how to walk with a no answer. There's a time when even the Apostle Paul had some kind of ailment, they believed. They had something to do, maybe they thought, with his eyesight. It was failing him. And he prayed 3 times for God to heal him. And it says this in 2 Corinthians. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul prays 3 times, and God says, no, my power is made perfect in weakness. Is that just a way of keeping a man humble? The Apostle Paul says, I asked of God, God said no, but praise the Lord. It's tough sometimes when we ask things of God and God says no? And yet, aren't you glad when he says no in hindsight? You ever prayed for something and in hindsight you just say, whew, right? God says no. So God always answers prayer. There's yes, there's no, and what's the other one? Not now, right? Wait, not now, just wait. And the Bible's full of waiting. I like this one in Acts chapter 6. Jesus has come up out of the grave, and the disciples are like, that was amazing. And they basically, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, they say, I get it, now is the kingdom to be restored. And Jesus says, it's just not for you to know the times that my Father has set aside. But go be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth, because the Spirit of God's coming upon you. The answer to their question was not now. I almost wanted to say you're on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know type thing, you know, kind of that military deal, just go take that hill. There is yes, there's no, and there's not now. Just wait. And doesn't the Bible so often say, wait upon the Lord? Wait upon the Lord. Psalm 40, the rock band U2 made this one famous, right? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. King David saying, I waited for the Lord. I prayed, I waited, and finally he answered. Whenever you enter into the prayer, and certainly in petitions of asking things of God, there's always yeses. There are no's. And friends, no is an answer. And there is wait. Wait upon the Lord. Did you know that there's always agenda with prayer? Did you realize this, that every time you pray, there's an agenda behind what you're praying for? Am I right? Friends, the reason why we get a lot of no answers in prayer is that we pray with the wrong agenda. We pray with the wrong things. Now listen to Jesus' half-brother James. In James 4, 1 through 3, he says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's probably why God has told you so often no to your request of winning the lottery. Because God knows you. Probably the worst thing that could happen to any of us in this room is to win $456 million. It would probably absolutely ruin us in terms of our character. We would feed our pleasures with that money. I don't think it would draw us closer to God. It would probably take us away from God. And thus, God says no, and that means you're left up to mathematical chance whether or not you're going to win or not, which is really bad odds. Why do we say no? Because sometimes when we pray, we're praying for the wrong things. We're praying with the wrong agenda. We're praying for our agenda, an earthly agenda, instead of a heavenly one. I mean, you should take notes on this, right? All our prayers have agenda to them. Just acknowledge that. All our prayers have agenda to them. But what is the agenda of our prayers? Think about it. The last 10 prayers that you prayed, what was the agenda to those prayers? Was it your agenda? What should be the highest goal or agenda of our prayers? Friends, let me tell you something. The people that have the higher percentage of yes answers to their prayers are people that have learned to pray Jesus' way. They've learned to pray with a higher agenda than just the things of this world. They learn it from Christ. And truly, isn't that what we read here in John chapter 12? Jesus, it's Tuesday. Jesus has come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. People were really excited about that. On Monday, he flips over the tables. On Tuesday, he enters in back into Jerusalem, and the religious leaders get on him because he's bad for business, and they start trying to trap him, you know, shall we render to Caesar things that are Caesar's? And I mean, at the end of Tuesday, Jesus starts laying into them, and he calls them whitewashed tombs and hypocrites, and it's hotly contested. And actually, by the end of Tuesday, Jesus knows he's done, that he's got a death sentence on him. They're going to kill him for what he's done. He's publicly called them hypocrites. 7 times, by the way, I believe. Toward the end of this, the day's kind of winding down, and all of a sudden there are some Gentiles that are seeking the Jewish God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like you and I in this room. Most of us are Gentiles. And they are in Jerusalem. They're seeing all that Jesus is doing, and they want to meet this guy because they're blown away. They go to Philip. Philip goes to Andrew. They're talking, and they come up to Jesus when you read that text. And have you ever walked up to somebody and you start asking them questions and they're just in a totally different realm? Because that's truly what's happening here. They come up and they say, Jesus, there are some Greeks here that want to meet you. And Jesus says, the hour has come, right? The hour has come. For the Son of Man to be glorified. He says, unless the wheat falls into the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. And he's saying, I'm going to die, right? I'm going to die. He says, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came for this hour. Father, glorify your name that you're... Father, glorify your name. There's the prayer. Jesus says, shall I, this is the hour I've come. Father, glorify your name. And friends, what happens? Thunder. A voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the crowd is stunned. Can you imagine Jesus just saying this? He starts praying and thunder rocks across the sky. The voice of the Father speaks. Everybody quiets and calms down. What was the purpose? What was the prayer that Jesus just prayed? What was the highest agenda of Jesus' prayer that Tuesday? What was it? For the Father to be what? Glorified. Write that down. This is the highest agenda of prayer. For God the Father to be glorified. For God the Father to shine forth, to be shown in a favorable manner in his life. Father, be glorified. And can't you hear the Father in heaven go, amen, right? He just answers that. It has been glorified, Son, and it will be glorified again. Can you think of any greater of the glory of the Father than for the Son of God to do what was intended for him to do upon the earth, what he was sent to do? Aren't you glad that God didn't answer Jesus' prayer with a yes? Because if there's any way I can move from this, God says, no, son, this is what you're going to do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, is there any way this cup can pass from me? No. Aren't you glad that God said no? If he hadn't said no, what if God had said, yeah, Jesus, just forget it. Don't die on the cross for you. And you and I are left in our sin, separated from God, right? Guilty of our shame and guilt and sin before the Almighty. But Jesus, who dies on the cross, washes away all of our sin, and all means all, and all, that's all it all means, right? He is the sacrifice that washes away the sins of the world, all of our sins. He has reconciled you to the Father, it says, and your sins will never be counted against you. Is that good news? That's really good news, friends. The moment you breathe your last breath and you enter into eternity, be thankful that your sins will never be counted against you for what Jesus has done for you on the cross. I'm so thankful the Father said no to the Son. The greatest glory that Jesus could give is to fulfill the will of the Father. And God the Father says, Son, you have glorified it and you will glorify it again. There's 3 times in the Bible when God the Father speaks to Christ physically. Can you remember him? Said his baptism, the Jordan River. Jesus comes up out of the water. God the Father says, that's my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Whoosh, right? Jesus coming to Jerusalem, the transfiguration, he's on a mountain and he's transfigured, and Peter starts talking when he shouldn't. And God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." That's two. And then there's the Tuesday before his death. He says, "Son, you have glorified me and you will do it again." There is no greater glory to the Father than to do his will. Right? I read that text on that Tuesday and it's just full of emotion, I think, for Christ. It's just a big moment that nobody understands when he comes to this place on this Tuesday and says, "Wow, this is a long day. I'm dead. Those guys are going to kill me. Father, be glorified in what's about to happen." Everything stops on that busy Tuesday when the thunder hits and God speaks back, "You have glorified and will again." It brings God glory for you to be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. It brings God glory that you've been reconciled to him through his Son, Jesus. For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? For God so loves you that he gave Jesus to be an atonement for your sin. And that brings glory to God. For you to be brought back into relationship with God brings glory to him because he loves you. That's amazing. If you let that stir a while, that'll put a smile on your face. To pray for God's glory, to pray for higher agendas and things on the earth is where Jesus' mind is at. It's the highest agenda of Jesus' prayers, to give glory and honor to the Father. May that be our prayers. The disciples ask Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," and he teaches them. Listen to this. The night before Jesus dies, he says this in John 14. He says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." Why? "So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." For what purpose? For your purposes or for God's purposes? If what you ask in his name brings glory to God, he says, then you're on it, right? "If you abide in me," Jesus says in John 15, 7 and 8, "if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That my Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." That's a verse on maturity, spiritual maturity. Our spiritual growth. Friends, our spiritual growth and maturity gives glory to the Father. We are here to help you meet. Here's our vision. Why do we exist as a church? Chaplain, what is the vision of your church? Well, that's a good question. The vision of my church is to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want you to meet him. Meet him. He's amazing. But not just meet him, I want you to know him. When you know him, it's incredible. But even knowing him is not enough. At some point, friends, the ultimate goal is for you to follow him. To follow him. And when you begin following Christ and you're a Christ follower, that is when maturity comes. That's when life change takes place. That's when you've moved from being a fan watching the field and the people playing to you get down there and playing yourself. To follow means you're on the field and now you're in. And I'm now a disciple of Jesus. In your spiritual maturity, you bring glory to God. In your spiritual growth, you bring glory to God. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. That my Father is glorified by this." That you grow up and bear fruit. That's maturity, right? John 16, 24, "Until now you ask for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." What is the agenda or the purpose of the prayers that Jesus is talking about? All of this, the agenda is heaven's glory. If you would, take notes on this and really stir this in. Note number 6 says that when we pray with heaven's agenda, things happen. When we pray with heaven's agenda, things happen. It's the highest agenda. It's the highest purpose of prayer. When you pray, you got to think, man, what's my agenda? Why am I praying? What am I doing here? Is this for me? The Bible says you don't receive because when you do pray, you ask with bad motives for you. When a person really enters into the topic of prayer and you begin to just look at, well, there's always answers to prayers. What should be the agendas of our prayers? Look at Jesus. And Jesus will teach you that the highest agenda of any prayer is things when you think about that are eternal and not temporal. Okay, here's a paycheck. Here's my paycheck this week. Got this one. Ready? Email that was sent to me this week. Dear Pastor Frank, thank you for doing this series on prayer. Though I have been a Christian for some time, I have really struggled in my prayer life lately. To think of praying for more than 5 minutes was a real challenge for me. But since you taught us about praying with the ACTS acronym, I have been spending a lot more time just praising God and thanking Him for the things in my life. I am praying longer and deeper than I ever have. Yay! Right? 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 The ACTS acronym. You remember that 2 weeks ago? When you enter into prayer, A is adoration. Praise God. You know, just praise Him. When you want to talk to God, praise Him for who He is. That's the A, right? Adoration. And then you've got confession. Man, when you're talking to God, ask Him, is there anything in my life that's just bumming you out that needs to change in me? And if the Holy Spirit brings it up, confess it, right? You confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you go through a time of confession, adoration, confession. The T is thanksgiving. Just give God praise. Just thank Him for things. Thank Him for your eyes that see and your ears that hear and your taste buds that taste. Thank Him for the senses that you have. Thank Him for the people that surrounded you each day in life. Celebrate every heartbeat that God's given you because you only get so many. Just stop and be thankful. We have a group of people coming back this week from our Philippines missions trip, and they're going to come back. Do you want to know what they're going to be thankful for when they come back? Pillows. Showers, carpeting, air conditioning. They're with people that have dirt floors. It's not wrong that you have things. What's wrong is when you have things and you aren't even grateful for them. That's what's wrong, friends. When you're not even thankful for what you have, you need to check yourself. Because I don't know if you've heard the rumor or not, but the world doesn't live the way you do. The world doesn't live the way Orange County does. You have so much to be thankful for. If you would just spend time praising God and thanking God for that, you'd have 10 minutes there, maybe an hour. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then the S is supplication, and that means just requests, asking things of God. When you ask of yourself, it's a petition. When you pray for other people, it's supplication. When you get down to the S and you begin praying for things, remember, what is your agenda in prayer? What are you praying for? Test yourself. The more you walk with Jesus, the more you'll pray about things that are important to Him. And the more you pray in that realm, the more you'll get answers to prayers of yeses. Because you'll be praying for higher agendas than yours. And that's all spiritual maturity. That all comes in time as you walk with the Master. Okay, that's prayer. What do you think? Is that good? You getting that? It's a little bit more, right? But see, there's a simplicity and a complexity that comes with prayer. But to His glory is the ultimate deal. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up, and I just want to sing the song, Josh, to You Be the Glory, okay? That's the one. As you're here today, would you all just close your eyes with me and bow your heads? I want you to know that God is here this morning. The Almighty God sees you this morning. God is intimately acquainted with all of your ways. God understands you. He understands your fears. He understands your struggles. He's patient with you. He cares about you. And God loves you. It's not bad to pray about your daily needs. Even Jesus teaches us that, and that'll be a part of next week's sermon. Give us this day our daily bread. It gives God glory when he provides for his son or his daughter. Jesus says, what father here on earth would give his son a snake when the son asks for a loaf of bread? And how much more so is your father in heaven, more benevolent than you? God knows your needs, and you should come to him with your needs. You should ask things of God. And you should ask things of God, and when you don't get them. Think about that. The reason why you have not received is because you haven't asked. Ask of the Lord. It's okay to ask of the Lord. To ask for others. To pray for David like we as a church did. And to ask for his healing, for his ears to be healed. Brought glory to God. Even him there this morning, dedicating David here at the church, gives God glory. And when God healed David's ears, it gives God glory. God knows. He sees. God understands. Talk to him, people. Don't be afraid to talk to your Father in heaven. It's simple. It's just communicating. God loves it when you talk to him. There's actually times when he misses you because you've been so distracted and so full of the things of this world that you don't spend the time with him that he wishes you would. Prayer is a powerful force that changes people, that changes circumstances. Prayer changes us. Pray this week. Set time aside this week to pray. Give him adoration. Go through a time of confession. Spend a lot of time thanking him. And when you ask things of God, think about your agenda. Be humble. Be respectful. To him be the glory. In the name of Jesus.
To you be the glory and forever. forever. To you be the glory, Lord. Will you stand with me for this last chorus? To you be the glory.
Our Father, we come before you this morning. We come to worship you, God. That's why we've entered this place. That's why we've come here this morning, Lord, to worship you, to sit at your feet, to learn from you, God. Lord, we wish to understand, right? We want more of you. We want to connect with you in deeper ways. We're never satisfied, God. Jesus, you're our rabbi, you're our teacher. We ask that you would teach us about prayer today, again. And may our prayers become more effective and more deep and more powerful. Wherever we are in our prayer journey, God, take us to the next step. That's our prayer. Lord, help us to put our mind above where you are seated at the right hand of God. Help us, Lord, to see things in an eternal light. Lord, may our lives impact eternity. May our lives this day bring you glory. Lord, when we love our neighbors, it brings you glory. Lord, when we love our families, it brings you glory. When we love our enemies, it brings you glory. When we pray for those who persecute us, it brings you glory. Lord, when we are kind to other people, it brings you glory. When we're generous, when we think out of ourselves, it brings you glory. When we learn to live and walk like Jesus did, it brings you glory. Lord, help us to glorify you this day, this week. Teach us, Lord, we ask. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.